You're listening to Radio Diaries. This is Joe, and I have some exciting news from the Radiotopia family. Ear Hustle is back with a new season. Hosts Nigel Poor and Earlonne Woods are bringing you unique, surprising stories from four California prisons. This season, they have some truly interesting perspectives. You'll hear from people who are so comfortable in prison that they no longer want to be free. And you'll hear from mothers of inmates about the complicated reality of having adult children in prison. The show is full of candid interviews and thought-provoking conversations, and it just keeps getting better. Find Ear Hustle wherever you get your podcasts and at earhustlesq.com. This episode of Radio Diaries is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Radiotopia.
From PRX.
From PRX's Radiotopia, this is Radio Diaries. I'm Joe Richman. When the pandemic hit back in March, we launched a new series called Hunker Down Diaries, stories of people thrown together in unexpected circumstances. Today on the show, we're checking back in with one of those stories. It's called Love at First Quarantine. The psychotherapist Esther Perel has pointed out that disasters, like say a global pandemic, often operate like relationship accelerators. They cause both a spike in divorce and a spike in marriages and babies. But what does a relationship accelerator do for practical strangers? Gali Ba'eri is 37 and works as an executive assistant. Joshua Bolivar is 42 and does visual effects for movies. They both live in New York City, and when the city was preparing to lock down back in March, they made the unlikely decision to quarantine together after just one date.
Check 1, 2.
So that's recording? Good. Okay.
We are currently at my house in Astoria, Queens, New York City.
Which is now kind of my apartment.
And you had just looked at the date.
I was looking at the calendar earlier. That was March 11th, 2020, that we had our first date. Which is a pretty big week in the city. That was my last week going into the office.
We had like all these little micro moments before that. I was smitten. And you had such a full life and a busy life. And it was like you were giving me these little snippets like, come and meet me at Trader Joe's. I'm doing grocery shopping and I can hang out with you for a minute afterwards. You know, I can come to your work when you're done with work. And so we met on the steps next to Penn Station.
Yeah, we hung out there at the steps of the post office for a while.
So she's giving me these little doses.
Yeah, and I was just having my busy New York schedule. And then we had that Wednesday date that turned into an overnight date here at your place. So that was our first date. And then didn't quite have plans of when we were going to see each other next. But then everything shifted because everything in the city was starting to get canceled.
And both of us kind of thought it was the other one that suggested it.
Yeah, like who suggested that we quarantine together?
Yeah, and then all of a sudden it just started to happen. So we just kind of stumbled into it.
Joshua's place seemed like a much better spot than mine. I have a roommate, and Joshua has a suite, one bedroom. So I packed a suitcase with what I thought would be way more than I needed. Let me bring 2 weeks worth of stuff just in case, fully anticipating that I would bike back home to my apartment every so often to have a couple of days to myself and gather more supplies if I needed them. And I have not been to my place in 7 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't a very well thought out decision.
Yeah, my friends are just really surprised. And all of a sudden I'm living with you. What? Who is this person? Like, I haven't lived with a partner in over 4 years. You know, after my separation from my ex-husband, like, really learning how to live on my own. And this came out of nowhere. We're both still working full time, you know, have our remote set up here in your apartment, and then all the day-to-day living things.
You had to figure out you're a vegetarian, I'm a meat eater, so it's like, how do we do food together? I like earlier mornings, you're more of a night person. So that's been a little push and pull that we've been trying to navigate. I've been to online Seder with your family. You've met my family multiple times over the video chat.
And I remember having fears, like, is it too soon for me to meet the family? And you start laughing, like, come on, what's too soon? We already live together.
Yeah. The regular patterns don't really apply to us anymore. It's just been such a joyful experience. And I've felt guilty in certain moments about sharing it with friends and family who were suffering and not enjoying this experience at all. And I can tell sometimes in their voices and in their faces when they respond over the video chat, you know, I can just see that they want to be happy for me, but they're sad too, that they don't have something like this. That they don't have anyone to be with, or they're not particularly psyched about the people that they're with. And you read the news reports and all the people losing their jobs and dying, and, you know, there's just so much suffering going on that this feels like sacrilegious almost or something.
Yeah, am I allowed to be this happy and excited while everyone else is hurting?
I had thoughts of how long it could last, you know, because it was so good, you know, I mean, at some point we're going to get bored and that, or something, the honeymoon period will be over, because they always say there's a honeymoon period
and things were just
in
so
relationships
good.
And they continued to be good and continued to be good. And it's like, all right, when is this going to be over? You know, and it had to happen in such a dramatic fashion. You know?
Yeah.
So talk about that day.
Yeah, so we've been quarantining here together for a little over 3 weeks, and then realized my birthday would be happening in quarantine. And I make a pretty big deal of my birthday, so, oh yeah, we went shopping.
And I was like, let me just go to the store. Better, safer if just one of us goes. You pulled your birthday card and been like, no, I want to just go and look and there's going to be things. And then we're in the store and, wait, should I get this ice cream or these other ice creams? And I was like, I don't care. Just get all of them. Just get three of them. We need to get out of here. Let's get back home where it's safe. Yeah. And that was, based on timing, would have been your exposure night.
Yeah, that was probably the night I got exposed.
You know, we'd been so damn careful.
All of our gloves and masks and cleaning all the groceries and cleaning every delivery package. Yeah, being really careful and not going out besides a walk around the block or grocery trip. That was it.
Yeah.
And on that Saturday, April 11th, I started feeling really cold. I was shivering and could hardly get warm. And you started giving me layers and your warmest hoodie, and I was still chattering. Finally, we thought, okay, let's check the temperature.
You knew you had a fever. Yeah. You were scared to take your temperature.
Yeah.
You didn't want to see what it was going to be.
Yeah, I could feel it. And yeah. Then checked a couple hours later, and it was jumping up. The next day, it was getting 102, 103. It hit 104. That's when first called a nurse hotline through my insurance, and she said if the fever gets to 104, you have to go to the ER.
Got real pretty fast.
Yeah, that's when I really felt the fear hit. I was like, oh, I do not want to go to a hospital right now. Yeah. And just praying that I wouldn't get the shortness of breath. You were finally able to track down some Tylenol in the city, and thankfully we were able to keep my fever down and not have to go to the hospital, but at that point, I couldn't do anything. I had no energy. And I was so grateful to have you doing everything, making every meal, bringing me the thermometer when it was time, bringing my medicine, my water.
Set up a little cat toy bell to ring it.
Yeah, whenever I needed help, I had this bell that I could ring and Joshua would come.
And at the end of the day, I would collapse out on the floor in the living room and just go sleep right away and had alarms set for 3 hours later, you know, to wake up and check vitals. And trying to not get sick myself.
Yeah, my family was definitely worried and they were calling me every day. And I had never had a fever that high before in my life, or had a fever last for as many days as it did. And so when I saw it getting that high, people are asking me, are you still lucid? Are you hallucinating? Like, those levels of questions got me scared of like, oh, when am I going to be losing my faculties?
Yeah, and we started to generate, you know, worst case scenario kind of lists.
Like, do I have a DNR?
You didn't like that question so much, did you?
No, I didn't want to think about me getting to a point where I couldn't speak my needs and that you would have to take over that. Like, I totally trusted you to.
Trusting a practical stranger with your health and well-being. And it was so intense to, like, is this the end of it? Could this be the end of your life, my life? Never mind the relationship. You know, it kind of got real really fast. And it was like, you know, am I ready to just, like, say goodbye to you after just saying hello?
So it was about 5 days in to having that fever. I remember it was getting lower, and I finally felt like I had a little more energy. So that night was my first shower. I washed my hair. It felt amazing.
Yeah, you were pretty stinky.
Yeah. And so I got out of the shower. It was late. And you had made the bed. You put fresh sheets on the bed.
Yeah.
And I remember getting into bed and just feeling like, oh my gosh, this is so glorious. If I die now, I am so happy. I am clean on clean sheets. This huge grin on my face. Fell asleep. And that night, my fever broke. Which ended up being round one. And then Monday night, my fever would come back.
Round two.
Had a fever for another 3-4 days. It wasn't as bad this time. It didn't get as high. And my energy still is not back up to where it was before. I guess more than 3 weeks since when I first started getting sick. So I've been without fever for like maybe 10 days now. Yesterday was the first time I went outside in over 3 weeks and had the energy to walk. So I started feeling better, and I remember you saying, you can't go back to what it was like before, because you felt me kind of pushing to try to get us back to whatever our playing house was like before I got sick.
You were pretty upset when I said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can't go back to that, you know? I mean, it's like...
Like, I get it, and it was so hard for me to hear because before was amazing.
Well, how do you feel at this point? I mean, for me, it's like a lot of it's returned.
Yeah.
You know, and it has a different flavor now. You know, it's almost like a maturity to it because we face this.
Yeah, like, it's been, what, 7 weeks of living together?
That's it?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
But it feels like a lifetime. It
feels like years.
But we've never gone out to dinner together.
Yeah.
Just so absurd.
Okay, maybe we should have a talk. We should sit down and have a talk about this, you know? Like, what are we doing? And I found myself like in moments afraid of what would happen at the end of quarantine, not wanting it to end, you know? And yeah, I guess I've been curious about if you have any thoughts around it.
This cocoon of time has felt like such a gift. It also feels like living in a fairy tale. Mm-hmm. I'm still paying rent on my apartment. I still have a lot of things there that at some point are going to matter to me, I guess. I have an inner timekeeper who is very loud, so I want to move on quickly to the next thing. I have that New York City pace. Part of the pandemic has been, oh, they're like, we have no idea what's happening in the future. We never actually knew, but now we really don't know. And so you've kind of asked me, like, how do I want to integrate you into my life? And I haven't known how to answer that question yet. But I don't know what life looks like post-quarantine and what life might look like with you. But yeah, if this goes on indefinitely or there's no like clear end to quarantine, then we have to decide what we're doing.
And like, yeah, I just assume one day you're going to be like, okay, I'm going home. And I'll be like, okay, bye. And I mean, I don't know. I mean, that could be the end of it. And that maybe outside of the constructs of this bubble that we've been in, it wouldn't work. You know, it's not something I want. I think that's possible.
Yeah, it definitely feels like a big deal when I think about popping this bubble we've created. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have fear around walking out that door.
Ghalib Airi and Joshua Bolivar in Astoria, Queens. Their story first ran on the show 8 months ago as their quarantine relationship was just beginning. We'll be back in a minute to find out how that relationship looks today. Radio Diaries has support from Imagined Life, a podcast from Wondery. Imagined Life explores the lives of legends before they were famous. This show is an immersive experience. Listeners step into the shoes of someone world famous, and it's up to you to figure out who it is by the end of the episode. Along the way, the stories of their life serve as clues, with a big reveal in the final moments. In a recent episode, The Adventurer, we hear the story of an aspiring scientist traveling to a foreign continent, but no one thinks she has what it takes. Listening to this episode was like piecing together an epic jigsaw puzzle. Every step in her life is one piece closer to solving the mystery. And who doesn't love solving mysteries? To listen to The Adventurer and other fascinating life stories, subscribe to Imagined Life on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or listen ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app.
Hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
Doing well, Joe. How are you?
Good.
It's been a while. I'm glad to hear your voice. So if we had broken up, would you still rerun the story?
That is such a good question. It's been 8 months since Gali first moved in with Joshua, or by their count, 256 days. A few things have happened since then. They bought a car together. They went camping. They met Joshua's family. And Gali has started eating meat for the first time in 2 decades. But the question I had was, what happened when Gali finally popped the bubble and went back to her own apartment? I just want to ask you, you know, you talk in the end of the story about what'll happen when you walk out the door. So I guess my first question is, what happened? What was that like?
So I think I went to my apartment to just gather things quickly a couple of times. But there was one time that I went back for a couple of days and stayed there overnight. And I think that was 3 months in. And it felt like a big deal. It was like, okay, I'm leaving. I'm going to sleep elsewhere. What's this going to be like?
And I guess I was curious if you were going to love being home. You know, decide to stay for longer.
Yeah, and when I went there, it was just so clear to me, oh, this is not my home anymore. And like, it was this museum of my things being held for me, but didn't feel like mine anymore.
And what's the status of your apartment now?
So a couple of days ago, I've finally came to the decision that has been coming for a while, and I'm ready to let go of the apartment. It's a very fresh decision. So my plan is to go to the apartment sometime in the next couple of weeks and start getting rid of the things I don't need and packing up.
And my initial reaction was concern, because, you know, it has been a backup plan for you. You know, a backup plan if things go up in flames in terms of our relationship.
Well, it does seem like a big deal. I mean, taking away the safety net, right?
Yeah, it's scary. I have a lot of fear around it. I mean, I'd like to continue living with you. So whether that's in this apartment, different apartment, a different city for a time, or a town, I want those things.
Well, I don't feel like I've heard those words from you in such a clear fashion. They're like, yes, you want to continue living together. So my eyebrows went up because I feel like that was, and I'm excited.
So that's certainly a milestone. I mean, in your story, you talk about how everything is kind of condensed, that the usual timeline doesn't apply. And I'm wondering what sort of milestones have you found? What sort of like markers in a relationship have you gone through over the last 7 or 8 months?
What are other relationship milestones that people have?
Well, moving in together, which we've already done.
Yeah, we've got that one.
And the other steps on the escalator involve a ring and children.
Oh, there's stuff in between, though, isn't there? Help us out here.
I think there is stuff in between, yeah.
What else is there?
One thing that makes me think of is in this strange time and jumping into a relationship in this way that you have, I wonder, are there milestones and chapters of a relationship that you're missing out on?
Yeah, I feel like there's definitely some milestones that we're missing out on in terms of how my life operated before, like being social together out in the world, and going to dance parties together, connecting with friends for a meal.
Yeah, I don't really know your friends. I don't know if they'll like me, if I like them. You know, it's... Yeah, and I guess one other little piece that we kind of glazed over maybe was thing is your emotional state over the past 2 months or something. You know, it's been low, and it's been a very different aspect of you to witness.
It's like as close to a depressive state as I've been in. Yeah, it's been tough.
You know, I was really grateful when you started being honest with me about what was going on for you, because I could feel it and see it. There's no place to hide around here. And so I knew there was something up, but I was waiting. I was waiting for you to be ready to share it. And part of me is still waiting. But it is a dynamic change in our relationship. When you're not shiny, vulsive, you know, what's the word?
Effusive.
Effusive, yeah. That's what I would call you.
Yeah. That's why it took me so long to even consider it to be a depressive state, because my normal is just so up. So then I just have these, you know, random crying fits, and to be loved during that, and for you to not need me to be a different way. I think that's been affirming.
Welcome.
Thank you for sharing that. And thank you for doing another round of this.
Yeah, I think we'll, pandemic or not, we want like an 8 month check-in with you every 8 months. You can do podcasts with it. We don't care.
Okay. Podcast or not, I promise I'll keep checking in with you.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Gali Ba'eri and Joshua Bolivar, still in Astoria, Queens.
There's a tall golden ladder that stretches high up into heaven. You could climb up if you wanna, but you can't come home. Or you could stay with me for a little while. You know that home is wherever you are. Let me ride the lonely miles with you.
Today's episode is part of our series, Hunker Down Diaries. You can hear more of those stories on past episodes of the Radio Diaries podcast. And you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Diaries. This series was produced by Sarah K. Kramer, Nellie Gillis, and me, Joe Richman. Our editors are Ben Shapiro and Deborah George. Radio Diaries is part of Radiotopia, a listener-supported network from PRX. You can hear all those shows at radiotopia.fm. We have support from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the National Endowment for the Arts, NISCA, and listeners just like you. Music today from Blue Dot Sessions and this duet, Aaliyah Shaukat and Ben Dickey singing Blaze and Sybil's Lullaby.
Oh, you could stay with me for a long, long while.
I'm Joe Richman of Radio Diaries. Thanks for listening.
You know the moon lights up the trees for us. So darling, kiss me quick before I catch them blue. Boom, boom, boom.